With the Lord's help this evening, I will direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the first epistle of John, chapter 4, and verse 15. The first epistle of John, chapter 4, and verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. It is of the greatest importance that we should have a religion that is real. In John's epistles, perhaps more than anywhere else, we have such clear teaching that by comparing what he says with what we feel, surely we can come to a conclusion as to whether our religion is real, whether we are real, whether God is real, whether sin is real, whether salvation is real. And in these few words that I've read this evening, I trust that we shall be able to come to a conclusion ourselves in our own hearts, because we shall each have to confess ourselves personally as to where we stand. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Just referring to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, there the Lord laid stress in his teaching in the parable of the husbandman and the vine of being united to Christ Jesus. This is one of the great mysteries of true godliness, God dwelling in a person and that person dwelling in God. There may be many things said under a religious banner, and this point never touched upon. But this point is a very important one. And though indeed we acknowledge we need grace to speak to you this evening from it, yet may it be the Spirit's good pleasure to so endue us with his favour that one and another, all if God's will, but some at least, may have the poor persuasion that God dwells in them and they dwell in God. There is so much that revolves around this point as to whether we believe, whether we confess the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. When the Lord was here upon earth, who he was one of the great questions. Very few, and those only by divine enlightenment, could make a true profession, as Peter did on one occasion, "We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, This is so important. May God indeed give us grace to set a few points before you. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. First of all, we notice this word, whosoever. Now, this will not exclude anyone. It will not include everyone. Whosoever, rich or poor, learned or unlearned, distressed, untroubled, or favored under the enshining of the grace of God, barbarian, or more cultured, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If you read through the scriptures, through the New Testament, you will find that there were a variety of people that confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. We have such extremes as the blind beggar. We have, on the other hand, the man Nicodemus. And such characters. We have the woman that was pressed down because of her daughter. We have the centurion, a Roman, not a Jew at all. So we may go through many in the scriptures. Whosoever. How did they confess that Jesus was the Son of God, is the Son of God? Well, they confessed it in just the same way that we shall be able to confess it. They confessed it by divine revelation. We should be quite mistaken if we thought that when Jesus was here upon this earth, he walked about with a halo round his head. If there was anything to distinguish him from the ordinary man, it is that which Isaiah declares in the 52nd chapter, where he says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. But Jesus mingled with the people, and the people knew not that he was the Son of God. Now let us come to a few particulars as to how some did believe and consequently confess that Jesus is the Son of God. If we consider Jesus only to be a man, though we are glad that he is a God-man, then where would our hope be of salvation? As a man, he would not be eternal. As a man, he would be limited. And in this respect, as a man, and we speak very carefully here, he depended upon his God for all things. Where we read that word, and my Father is greater than I, we are to observe that this had nothing to do with his position in the Godhead, but it referred to the fact that Jesus humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, and in consequence was God's servant. Behold mine elect, my servant whom in whom my soul delighteth. How many of the creatures that milled round about him in those days regarded him just as a man with no power at all? Although they may have thought that he did wonderful works, some were bold enough to sin against the Holy Ghost and to say, this man casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. But why do you, if you do, and why do I, believe and confess that Jesus is the Son of God? There must be some relationship, and there must be something in our lives that demands our accepting him as such, our rejoicing in him as such. And what is it? We need an experience of Jesus Christ in order that we may confess him. And I felt in the singing of the second hymn just now, here was a man that confessed Jesus Christ. He was a beggar, poor, at mercy's door. Lies such a wretch as I. And this man was a beggar, clothed in rags, disgraceful and forlorn, himself a mass of hateful dregs, in Satan's image born. Is this man going to see anything in Jesus Christ to make him confess that he is the Son of God? I read a short piece once of a school in Israel, and the question was asked of these Jewish boys as to how it was that Jesus could touch a leper and not be infected by the leprosy. And one boy put up his hand and he said, because he is the Son of God. Now that was simple teaching, but we come to the same point. Because he is the Son of God, do you feel that you are amongst the untouchables? Or because your sins are so great and your heart is deceitful, and if anybody was to come near you, you couldn't help but feel that they would be infected by your sinful nature? But here was one that came near. Has he come near to you and touched you? And your sin has gone. Wonderful occasion that is. But the Lord Jesus hasn't been affected, except in the way spoken of in the scriptures, he took our sicknesses, he bore our sins. But between men and women, we can, by our sinfulness, we can affect other people. But Jesus could not be affected with our sin. If we should become light-hearted, if we should become angry, if we should indulge in language which was not suitable, if we should go to great lengths, yet the Lord Jesus in his holy nature would not be caught up by it. If he was to take such sins, it would only be that he might carry them away at Calvary and wash them in the blood of the Lamb. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now you know that Nathanael knew that Jesus was the Son of God in a remarkable way. We find the record of this in John's Gospel, where we read of Nathanael being sought after by, and Philip bringeth Nathanael unto him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now we're not told what happened under the fig tree. But you know, sometimes God's work is very silent and very secret. And maybe we do not think anybody knows anything about it, or even that God knows about it. But here was a time when the Lord spoke to Nathanael, when there was time to the fig tree. But there are many fig trees. He didn't need to be instructed in that. Oh, we remember the occasion, doubtless, when he was under the fig tree. What was he doing? Could it be that he was confessing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? He certainly confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That incident brought to his memory by Jesus Christ was one maybe he thought was secret. Nobody knew about it. There have been times when some have come to the house of God and they have, by the power of the Spirit, been engaged in a secret, secret exercise with God. And then one of God's servants has come and told them exactly what they've been doing. What are you going to say when that happens? Because you know that nobody could have told them, would have told them, they didn't even know. Are you going to say, thou art the Son of God? Because thou art God that only... thou art the God who sees all and who is a witness to my thoughts, a witness to my inward exercises, a witness to my concern about my sins, a witness wherein I prayed unto God that he would show his Son unto me. And God was aware of it. When the Lord Jesus Christ, as a true prophet of the Lord, spoke to him truly, he could say with the psalmist, The Lord hath been mindful of me. He will bless me. And for whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. One thing that is quite remarkable in that case of Nathanael is this. That there was no gradual building up. When Philip spoke to Nathanael, he said, Can there any good come out of Nazareth? And all Philip said was, Come and see. And the first words that the Lord Jesus spoke, Nathanael had the witness in his own soul that this was the Son of God. Now, have we anything in our lives whereby we could say, yes, God spoke to me. He told me what I've been doing. Sometimes it might be on the adverse side, when he saw you, when nobody else saw you, engaged in something was not at all right. But on the other hand, and more possibly, he saw your soul in exercise before God. You see, when true religion begins, it is quite secret. And so secret that very often God's people cannot trace the beginning. But that doesn't mean to say that they are to be discouraged. It is of the greatest importance that you should trace the beginning felt. And there will be a beginning that's felt. There will be a beginning when you pray differently. You might have prayed differently before you knew about it. But you will pray. And you will pray with faith in the Son of God. You will pray because you will know that if your soul is to be saved, then Christ must be the way. You will pray. And God will hear you. And in due time, according to God's purpose, God will put away your sin. Let's take another case in the scripture. Now, I'm not just going over the scripture, highlighting this person and another. I'm just going to these points because they are representative of experience of the people of God. Now, it may not be in exact detail of that the Lord, will being weary with his journey, will sit as thus on the well, and that you will come in just exactly the same way that that woman did with her water pot. But as you read on through the piece, you may identify yourself as a poor, ignorant person, as an outcast, a Samaritan. And you will know that religious people have nothing to do with the Samaritans, with though they're outside the pale. And who is this that will have something to do with this Samaritan, with this woman? And have you felt sometimes, who is this that will have something to do with me? You see, sometimes we may come to the house of God and we may look at the people, and you might feel like Ruth, I'm not like one of thine handmaids. And people won't take any notice of me. What a wonderful revelation that will be to you if the Lord begins to draw your soul out as he did the woman of Samaria. We know that when Christ cometh, he restoreth all things. But then you see the Lord went on to speak to this woman, and she was amazed, absolutely amazed, that he should speak to her as he did. The woman, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Did you begin your religious life in ignorance, so that you might have been criticized by some and say, don't you know what living water is? Well, perhaps some of us would have to say even now, we need a clearer revelation of what living water is. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then something happened which was going to call her past life into bringing it to the forefront. She couldn't have imagined that that was going to happen on that day when she wended her way to the well, that her whole life was going to be brought suddenly into focus. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidst thou truly. But to come on to the point, the Lord Jesus saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So then here this woman had that's been pressed upon her mind, that the Messiah would come. But now was the time when she would know that Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You see, here is the work of God in the soul. Too many people seem to put this in quite a different line of things. It is as though they think by their natural mind they've got to believe or they will be lost. But you see, dear friends, we've got to come down right to the earth, that we are earthen vessels. And it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now you see, dear friends, it will be quite different if you say like this woman, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Because Christ dwells in you, and you dwell in Christ Jesus, it's all spontaneous. It all has life in it. And this is so different from a calculation of the natural mind. A calculation of the natural mind will always be cold, or if there is any distinction from that, it may appear to be enthusiastic, but all the enthusiasm dies away and it is all empty. But because Christ was in this woman's heart, it was not she that spoke. It was Christ speaking in her, and Christ enabling her to confess that this is the Son of God. And what can you say? And what can I say this evening? Have we been brought to the point where God has worked so wondrously and so effectively in our hearts I remember this conversation with the woman was quite secret. It was private. It wasn't done in a company. It wasn't the result of a debating society's conclusions. But the Lord came to her. She came to him. But really, the Lord came to her because he knew where she would be on that day, because he was the Son of God. And what will you say when it comes to Jesus Christ as a Savior? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do that which I command you. Well, laying down the life of Jesus was in order that sin may be washed away. Now there's something very weighty that needs our consideration. If our sins are to be washed away, we've got to be presented before God without any sin when we come to the end of our journey. And if Jesus died for every sin that we were to commit in our lives, that is sin of thought, word and deed, it was absolutely necessary that he should know 2,000 years ago what we would commit in this way. Because atonement could be nothing at all, could be quite ineffective, unless every detail of our sin was known to him. Now you see, dear friends, this makes the Lord Jesus to be the Son of God as a necessity. He must know. How could you take comfort from the words, "Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven"? Unless you knew that the Lord knew all about you, knew all your sins, not only that you have committed, but that you will commit. Now you see, we could not project our future. We could not say, "Well, I might commit that, but I certainly shouldn't commit that," because some of us have had to prove our own weakness and the things that we said we never would do. It hasn't been long before we've been in the very same spot. Now, it would be very sad if we confessed a person in whom we repose confidence for our sin to be washed away. And one sin was forgotten. One sin was overlooked. Overlooked. That would be dreadful. How important then it is for us to believe that when Jesus died upon the cross at Calvary, he was the Son of God. He knew all the sins of all the election of grace, of all the redeemed throughout time. And the debt was fully paid. Oh, the debt was fully paid. Jesus laid down his life. "I lay it down that I might take it again." I believe, I confess. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of God with power. What must the load of all have been when only mine's so great? So, can we confess that Jesus is the Son of God? We couldn't repose confidence in any other. We couldn't accept what he says. Your sins, which are many, are all forgiven, unless we knew that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had washed away in his blood all those sins. Well, how are we to know that they've all been washed away? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is risen from the dead. Oh, how important it is for us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God that has risen from the dead. And that he has indeed ascended up on high and entered into the realms of heavenly bliss. Intercede for his people. In the Revelation, in the 4th chapter, John recounts a remarkable experience. After this I looked and beheld a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, who rose from the dead, but who ascended into heaven, there to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, can we really confess that Jesus is the Son of God with power in heaven? And also, as he said himself, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. But how do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? He couldn't be in heaven unless he was the Son of God, who put away the sins of his church. But is he in heaven? How do you know that he's in heaven? Can you confess that the Son of God is in heaven, proving that God dwelleth in you and you dwell in God? There are certain experiences into which God, the people of God, come where their mouths are shut in prayer. Maybe you've been in that spot sometimes. You've come to worship God, and what's gone on a little while before, you just couldn't open your mouth. What do you need now? Will anybody stand up and pray in your place? Or do you need something more than that? Will the Lord pray? Founded on right, thy prayer avails. The Father smiles on thee, and now thou in thy kingdom art. Dear Lord, remember me. Remember me, an outcast from the commonwealth of Israel, because of the sinfulness of just the last hour or so, or perhaps less. You know, our foolish heart can sometimes stop our mouth so that we're not able to speak. But how are we going to continue? We need to seek unto God. Pray now for us, that we through faith might feel the effect of Jesus' death, all for love. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, so then he is the Son of God with power, the eternal Son of God. We must never overlook that. He was the eternal Son of God Before he came into the world, he did not become the Son of God when he took on human flesh, as some have said, but he was in the counsels of eternity. And when great work of salvation was considered, he was willing to come and be not only the representative, but the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When Jesus undertook to rescue ruined man, the realms of bliss forsook and to relieve us ran. He knew what it would cost, but he was ready to pay. Dost thou believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you such a sinner that finds it absolutely essential that if your sins are put away, Jesus is the Son of God? And if by the power of the Spirit God has given you an inward witness, now that's your witness. It's not the witness of somebody else on earth. We read in the Word of God of two witnesses. In the next chapter of this epistle, we read, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that believeth hath the witness in himself." Now, let us not deceive ourselves. Let us not dishonor God when we have a clear witness in ourselves that there's something different from what we used to be. There's something that draws us up to God in worship. He that hath the witness, he that believeth hath the witness in himself. But then, it may well be argued, but what is the use of having one witness? The Word of God says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So we turn to Romans 8, where we read, "And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God." And when the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are amongst the redeemed, you're bound to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You felt it. You felt the need of him. And now you are willing to confess, because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the God's first elect. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now the Word of God tells us this: whoso cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just think of that character in Matthew 15. The woman that came to the Lord Jesus Christ with her daughter. She confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. The disciples tried to hinder her, but surely she pressed through the crowd, and she worshipped God. And notice, dear friends, that if she had worshipped Jesus and he wasn't the Son of God, she would be engaging in idolatry. But she came and she said, "Lord, help me." Have you confessed that Jesus is the Son of God? There are a number, yea, all the people of God at some time or other, have cried out, "Lord, help me." And who are you thinking of? To whom are you praying? Is it not the Son of God? Do you not believe that Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, and all power is given unto him? Lord, help me. And you know, despite the testing which the Lord put upon that poor woman, yet, you see, in the end she got the blessing. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And after the Lord had spoken to her testingly, Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Sometimes people get very discouraged because they set their sights beyond what they can see. The witness of God may be witnessed in very simple things. You may think it is impossible to comprehend the greatness of God, and yet he manifests himself in very simple things. What a wonderful word that is. Accept it. Accept it in what way? The word of God is this, accepted in the Beloved. And who is the Beloved? The Beloved is the Father's only begotten Son. Accepted. You know, people come to their end in various ways. Some silently pass out of this world because their lives have been a continual witness to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some may speak as Dr. Gill did and say, Father, Father. And others may testify that they have they're able to rest upon the things that they have preached. John Kent's dying words were these, I am accepted. Accepted. Me, of all people, accepted. And do you think that you're almost beyond being accepted? Do you fear that when you come down to your last moments, you may not be accepted? Of your own self, you certainly won't be. But if you're accepted in the Beloved, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. You'll believe on the Son of God. You know, there were those when Christ was here upon earth that were rejected by many people. And yet, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What a word is that? Accepted. It is a wonderful blessing to be accepted. Through whose work? Through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, who came down to wash away my sins and to clothe me with his righteousness. Bold shall I stand in that great day, and who ought to my charge shall lay? As the good poet who puts forth that petition so well known, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, and it is all of grace. And this is what he meant. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And what are the sons of God and the daughters of God? They are poor, needy sinners who are washed in the blood and clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. This is God's work, not the work of man. It is not the work of presumption, but it is the work of God, which cannot be controverted. And whatever people may say, it can never be controverted. If God has said to you on any occasion, I love thee well, my child, it can never be controverted. Do you believe on the Son of God, who is able to speak a word, who has spoken a word with such power to your soul, that you say, I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Whosoever, well, let not any of you think that you're outside, but let some of you at least feel that you're inside. This word, whosoever, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. You know, it needed a great deal of faith with those characters in the scripture to come to Jesus Christ. And hasn't it been a wonderful work of faith that you have been able to come to Jesus Christ? Let us look at the secret of that. In the 6th chapter of John we read, none can come unto me except the Father who hath sent me draw him. Now, we need to weigh that matter. And when you hear people speaking like this, accept Jesus Christ, come to Jesus Christ. Well, why do they come? Is it because the Father's drawing them? And now look at your case. Did you come to Jesus Christ? Why did you come? Was it because you could not do anything else but come? Did you find an irresistible force, an irresistible love working in your soul that caused you to come to Jesus Christ? And as you were drawing near, did your faith observe some words over the throne? And whoso cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Such a base and wretched sinner as I am, so filthy in every aspect. Surely it is the Son of God. I must confess it is the Son of God who received me and did not cast me away. You know, one of our hymns has that line in it. He hates to put away. He hates to put away. And several reasons are given as to why the Lord hates to put away. Let Zion's songs of triumph sing, let gladness crown the day. Jehovah is her God and King. He hates to put away. Graved on his hands, divinely fair, who did their ransom pay? The golden letters still appear. He hates to put away. Think not that he of thy suit reject nor spurn thy humble plea. He hears the groans of his elect and hates to put away. When loathsome in thy sins and blood, he did thy state today, and for a stranger surety stood. He hates to put away. Salvation's of the Lord alone. Grace it is a surest sea. In heaven there's ne'er a vacant throne. He hates to put away. He did not put away the dying thief. He did not put away Manasseh. He did not put away Mary Magdalene. Do you think he'll put away you? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and being the Son of God, he is the God of love. He is full of compassion. He is able to save unto the uttermost. He is able to cleanse the most filthy person. He is able, in a moment, to make such a change that will make you ready for heaven itself. And if this is so, the reason is just this. Because God dwelleth in you, and you in God. The Lord forgive anything that has been amiss, and may he grant application to our souls, that we may rejoice in God, our Saviour. Amen.